Welcome to New Beginnings with Karen Delk, where we celebrate the creativity, courage, and wisdom of people creating change. We highlight those who chart new paths, make new life and career choices, and face turning points. We explore lessons that accompany changes, both welcome and unwelcome. New Beginnings covers topics from the worlds of business, education, health, and the arts. Our guests and the stories we share inspire viewers to make positive changes within their own lives and communities. Now, here is our host, Karen Delk.
And I'm so pleased to have a very good friend, a fellow entrepreneur, Kim Osterhout, who runs and is the founder and CEO of Jams by Kim. And Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Such good news to share after we've had a very powerful series of storms.
Yes.
I couldn't think of a better way than to talk about jams and the comfort foods and have you on the show.
Thank you.
So what I wanted to do was introduce you and then talk a little bit about your transformation from corporate America to being an entrepreneur. So let me tell a little bit of the audience about you.
Okay.
So you are the founder and chief executive officer of Jams by Kim, which provides all natural artisan jams to consumers. You have flavorful and distinctive gifts that we'll be showing later, and it's an opportunity for clients to indulge themselves in delicious tastes of jam. And you use all natural products, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and most of them are local, right here, New Jersey grown. We are the Garden State, so I use New Jersey produce as much as possible.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you also have affiliations with several farmers markets.
Yes.
So that makes it even more
wonderful. Yeah, I can get my fruits and vegetables right from the markets and take them straight to my kitchen. So it's a good arrangement.
Yeah, that's great.
Farmers markets really give me the opportunity to have a store, you know, in the same place every week throughout the market season. It's great.
Yeah. Now, how many market farmers markets are you affiliated with?
I did three last year, the last couple of years, but I'm going to try to add a fourth one this year.
Wonderful.
I do the Princeton Farmers Market, the Summit Farmers Market, the Montclair Farmers Market, and I'm looking at adding another market this year.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, how you balance this creativity that you have, and I've always known you to be creative, with the tradition and authenticity, you know, how you got your start and that kind of thing. And talk about your training as well, because, you know, it wasn't necessarily a natural to move from corporate to being an entrepreneur, so we'll touch a little bit on that.
Sure.
But prior to running your own firm, you were working for Prudential Financial.
Yes.
In several roles, the Director of Community Resources in Local Initiatives, and you were the Director of Learning Operations for Corporate HR, Corporate Human Resources, and the Director of Consumer Communications for the Individual Life business.
Yeah, for all of the businesses, actually. We sold our services to all of the Prudential companies.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And then prior to that, you held several positions in the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are a graduate of the Rutgers Graduate School of Management. You have an MBA.
Yes.
And you have a bachelor's degree from the College of Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester, Mass. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, and you serve on several nonprofit boards. One is the Edmund Houston Foundation, which provides scholarships to minority students pursuing MBA degrees.
Yes.
And then the Intersect Fund, which empowers entrepreneurs to start and grow strong businesses so that they can be assets and spark a dramatic change in their communities, which
is
wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Intersect Fund. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Intersect Fund provides training, and they also provide loans to small businesses in New Jersey. It's an amazing organization that was actually started by a couple of Rutgers students not too long ago. It's about 5 years old.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And what led you to get on their board?
Well, I took their Entrepreneur University course, and they really helped me put together my first professional business plan, you know, really made me think about the hard questions and, you know, helped me know how to, you know, evaluate and value my products and my prices, and, you know, just really helped me to put a solid foundation down. Mm-hmm. And from there, I've been able to grow in the marketing training that I got from them, and, you know, so many things they were able to teach me. And they gave me a class of other entrepreneurs to have as, you know, colleagues. So that really helped as well.
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of like being in a master class.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
And
that's
so great. And it lets me have other entrepreneurs that I can reach out to and mm-hmm. collaborate with and ask questions and mm-hmm. you know, talk over steps that I may want to take with my business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that introduction, tell us a little bit about Jams by Kim, kind of how you got started.
Well, Karen, I made my first jam when I was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. In my house growing up, we canned everything. My mom was an amazing cook, and, you know, I can remember, you know, being a little girl sitting at the table when, you know, mom was making applesauce or canning peaches or pears. And my earliest memory of canning was when I got to push the cinnamon stick down in the jar. So canning has always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. I loved making jams and jellies. My grandfather had a grape arbor, and so he gave me grapes. That was my first jelly. Mm-hmm. And I, even, you know, as I grew up, I went away to college. I'd come home in the summer and I would make jam and take it back to school with me. It was always sort of my hostess gift or my mm-hmm. holiday gift. And so when I left Prudential in 2009, I was thinking about what did I want to do next. You know, maybe I wanted to change careers. And I met with a friend of mine for lunch, and I took my resume, and I, you know, I thought I'd get a little advice from him. And he said to me, "What do you really love to do?" And I reached in my bag and I handed him a jar of jam. And he said to me, "You know, the opportunity is right in front of your face." And he had a colleague at the Small Business Development Center mm-hmm. out at Raritan Valley Community College. And I went out there and I took a couple of courses, and, you know, Jams by Kim was born September 09. So I'm excited. We're going to celebrate 5 years in business this year. And, you know, I'm starting to plan a 5-year anniversary celebration.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And I didn't realize that it stemmed that back that far.
Yeah.
I thought it probably had some early beginnings, but this is really a great story of taking something that you do on the side, maybe mm-hmm. an avocation, mm-hmm. maybe not really a hobby, but something that you enjoy.
You love to do.
Yeah, you take it lightly and then turning it
into a
business. I mean, I think that's phenomenal.
Well, you know, I was so encouraged by people who love my jams. I mean, mm-hmm. people would come and they would taste my jam, or I would give them a jam to take home, and they always seemed to want more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to turn it into a business just seemed like a really logical step. I had no idea what owning a business was going to entail, and, you know, the many ways that it's very complicated, mm-hmm. but I felt like I was up for the challenge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having worked in corporate America and worked really hard, I thought to myself, if I worked half as hard for myself as I did, you know, for corporate bosses that I've had before, mm-hmm. that I'd have to be successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is hard work, but I love what I'm doing.
That's wonderful.
And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. So I know you talked a little bit about the Intersect Fund mm-hmm. and getting training there. What other training did you get to prepare you for the entrepreneurship?
Well, I took a course at Rutgers Business School. They have a Center for Urban Economic Development. And the course that I applied to was called the Entrepreneurship Pioneers Initiative. And it's a competitive program. It runs once a year. It's about 10 months long. And you have to have been in business at least 2 years to get into the program. And it was just an amazing opportunity for me. The faculty that taught us one full day a month all own their own businesses, so they really knew what they were talking about. There were some amazing presentations, and once again, here I am in a class with other people who have businesses that are at least 2 years old. One of the things about being an entrepreneur it can be really isolating. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in corporate America, there are groups and associations and, you know, organizations that you belong to that keep you, you know, current. But when you're an entrepreneur, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. And so the Rutgers Entrepreneurship Pioneers Initiative was a big help to me. And I continue to, you know, network and collaborate and work with the entrepreneurs that I met in that program today.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So that helped me. And then the other group that's near and dear to my heart is NABO. It's the National Association of Women Business Owners. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, once again, it's all women business owners. I belong to the Central Jersey chapter, and they have helped me tremendously, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have, I belong to a mastermind group. Mm-hmm. So there are six women business owners that I meet with once a month, and we challenge one another, and, you know, they push me to, you know, take on new challenges, to kind of get out of my comfort space, and they hold me accountable for things that I say I'm going to do. And in fact, they run an annual competition. They call it SEED, Supporting mm-hmm. Emerging Entrepreneurs Development, and it's like a precursor to a business plan competition. I won that competition back in 2010, And it's actually going on now. Applications, you know, women business owners in New Jersey who've been in business less than 2 years can apply. You can go to nabocentraljersey.org, And I believe applications will be taken up until March 15th.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
And the prize, the winner gets, you know, at least $15,000 worth of prizes that really help you build your business. Mm. Things that, you know, when I started my business, I might not have spent the money on, But, you know, like the professional headshot, which can cost, you know, $350 for almost $500, was one of the gifts that I got, and I use it all the time.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. You really did invest a lot in terms of taking what you learned at your mother's hand
and then
really launching it into a successful business.
Yeah.
Now, you and I, you know, touch base kind of quarterly, But I missed the big news. I heard a little bit afterwards. So we've got to talk about this because, of course, New Jersey was the host of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you were contacted by the Super Bowl host committee because they were looking for local entrepreneurs who had products to give in the gift baskets for the NFL players.
Owners. Yeah, it was the owners. I was so pleased. I got a phone call and I know now, there are 32 NFL teams, which I didn't realize, but There are 38 owners because some teams are owned by more than one entity. Okay. And the host committee puts together these huge gift baskets. I mean, I'm talking gigantic. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted local products. So they had found my website and they called me up and they said, you know, we're particularly interested in your blueberry and lemon jam. And I was like, really? They said, yeah, we'd like to taste that one and the cranberry chutney. Could you send us a sample?
Okay.
I was like, yeah, sure. So they fell in love with the blueberry and lemon, and so my blueberry and lemon jam was in the gift baskets that all of the NFL owners got for the Super Bowl.
That's wonderful.
Dream come true.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I was so excited when I read
Thank
this
you.
Because this is something that, you know, that was a gift.
Absolutely.
That was
and
a
I
gift.
Mean, the PR that came along with that was just, I couldn't have paid for it if I had a unlimited budget. So
it
was really great news for me. And I think, you know, there are at least 38 NFL owner families out there who are eating my jam. And
that's
so
wonderful. That's
spread the
wonderful.
Word.
Mm-hmm. And we have a very nice display here. So you brought 12
flavors,
but you have, and let's talk about these flavors and then talk about what you're thinking about.
Well, you know, when I started my business, I had 6 flavors.
Okay.
And, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm at the beginning, let me put these out here and see what happens. And I have now about 25 flavors. I don't know how it got to be that many. You know, I think 10 would be a really nice number, but you know, a lot of the flavors are seasonal, and so they're not available year-round. Some are available year-round. Mm-hmm. I have fruity flavors, and I have what I call my savory flavors, some that you might use in cooking or use with meats, not the way, you know, not on a croissant or on a scone necessarily. And then I've also developed 2 flavors that I make without sugar. because customers said, hey, you know, do you have anything sugar-free? And I thought, you know, jam is fruit and sugar. I mean, when you come down to it, that's right. basically what it is. Mm-hmm. But people were like, come on, don't you have anything sugar-free? And so in my second year in business, I made a strawberry jam without sugar. I used organic agave nectar. And people loved it. It sold like crazy. And so then my customers came back and they were like, just strawberry? Don't you have something else? I did a blueberry, and now my challenge is to come up with a flavor in the savory line that I could make without sugar for folks that, you know, some, you know, have dietary restrictions or some people just don't want the added sugar.
Right.
So I have a number of flavors. I think about different flavors, and people will call me up. You know, a lot of people have asked me about, or at the farmer's markets, they'll say, do you make a fig jam? Fig is a popular jam that people are interested in. Or, you know, do you have a rhubarb jam? And, you know, some that I've never made before, some that I think about. I mean, that's how, you know, some of my flavors came to be. The strawberry and banana jam came as a result of a Star Ledger article. The writer asked me to come up with a jam that, you know, they could publish the recipe for the home cook. And, you know, my first thought was, oh, my goodness, well, I can't publish one of my recipes, right? So let me come up with something different. And when that article came out, people came to the markets. They came to the Princeton Farmers Market and said, I want to buy the strawberry and banana jam. And I was shocked. I'm thinking, but I published the recipe. And they were like, but I don't make jam. You make jam. And it's become one of my popular flavors, that's strawberry wonderful. And banana. And so it's funny. Right now, I have a couple of flavors because the winter is It's a little slower time for me. The farmers markets aren't open, and so I get to do my planning for the year and thinking about new things. So I made an apple pie jam the other day, and I made a cranberry grape jam, and so I'm testing them out. You know, I'm taking them to, you know, one of the great things about the Princeton Farmers Market is that it's open once a month during the winter months. So I'll take it and I'll let people taste it and see what they like. Give me feedback. That's the amazing thing about the markets that I mentioned earlier, that, you know, you get direct contact with your customers. They'll tell you what they like and what they don't like and offer you suggestions and comments. So I'm testing out some flavors right now. I try some recipes. You know, I have no shortage, really, of people who want to taste and be samplers for me. My family, my nieces, my nephews, they're always willing to test. I take them to my sorority sisters. I take them to my book club. You know, people are always willing to test the jam out and tell me what they think. So
now we are filming in Princeton, so you've got to tell us when you're doing this taste testing in Princeton.
Oh, sure.
So that people can...
Well, actually, the Princeton Farmers Market is on the second Thursday of the month. Okay. So it's scheduled to be this Thursday, which is February 13th, but it will also be on March 13th and on April 10th before it goes back outside.
Okay.
And it's indoors in the Princeton Public Library on Witherspoon Street from 11 till 5 a.m. So I'm there. But I'm also doing a really neat event in April at the Grounds for Sculpture.
I didn't
realize that the Grounds for Sculpture was the original site of the New Jersey State Fair.
Yeah.
And so once a year they do this Day at the Fair event where they try to recreate a lot of things that came from or that would have been seen at the original New Jersey State Fair. Mm. So they asked me to do a canning demonstration and to sell my jams there.
Wonderful.
And that's going to be on April 27th. It's a Sunday from 11 to 4, a day at the fair at the Grounds for Sculpture.
That's
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. So some of my testing new recipes was also to figure out what's the recipe that I'm going to make that day for folks at the Grounds for Sculpture.
Well, I'm sure just as the strawberry and banana took off, that this will also take off, and you'll have to have a special day at the fair kind of label
that, for that jam.
Yeah, for that jam.
That day.
But you know what I'm hearing is that for you in your business, you have, as you say, direct contact with the consumer and you get instant feedback about what they like, what they don't like. So that's good for you. But what's good for them is that they have access to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that they can actually get a custom made jam.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I've done some party favors, for bridal showers, and for, you know, birthday parties. A friend of mine had an 80th birthday party for her mom, and her mom loved blackberry jam, and mm-hmm. so I made some miniature sized jams for that. I get amazing, there's no shortage of unusual requests that come from my customers.
Right.
And so I, you know, if I can, you know, I'm happy to oblige.
Now, I know that you've also made jams out of wine.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, you know, I call it my grown-up grape grape jam jelly. But wine festivals have proven to be a really good venue for me as mm-hmm. well. And so around holiday time, I make, you know, wine jellies. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, grape jelly is made from grape juice. And so instead of grape juice, I use a grape wine. And I've made a variety of flavors. You know, I do a Pinot Noir, a White Zinfandel. I've done a Pinot Grigio, Merlot, Moscato I did just recently. And I was doing the New York Wine Festival last weekend. The New Jersey Wine Festival is coming up at the Short Hills Hilton. And they're generally twice a year. Mm-hmm. You can get those events. I've done some other wine festivals, but you know, it's a twist. It's sort of like my savory jams. I mean, there are other things, you know, people don't realize other ways that you can use jams. Mm-hmm. In fact, I do my jam sessions at the kitchen sometimes. I'll bring children in and teach them how to make jam, or I'll bring adults in and show them new ways to use jams. Mm-hmm. Things like my pepper jam, or the roasted garlic and sweet onion jam, the carrot and ginger jam. Mm-hmm. are, you know, you can use them in a lot of ways to cook. You can make desserts, but you can also use them in main dishes. You can, you know, use jam as the basis for a salad dressing. You know, you can make all sorts of appetizers that are savory or you know, there's really no limit to the ways that you can come up to use jams.
Yeah, and I have been educated about that through you,
Thank you. You
make a grilled cheese, but you put a little
pepper jam.
Yeah, pepper jam,
or the carrot and ginger jam.
And carrot and ginger, and it's very good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very flavorful and it's different.
Oh yeah.
So
unique.
You know, people are like, oh, well, now that's different.
Yeah,
that's different. Now you use your savory jams also for meats. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, my cranberry chutney, I mean, it really kicks up the flavor in a chicken sandwich or a turkey sandwich. Mm. But today, you know, as much as people have eaten out, folks are doing their own gourmet thing at home now. Mm-hmm. So you could put a little cranberry chutney next to any sort of meat. It would go with pork as well as with beef or mm-hmm. chicken. And, you know, my carrot and ginger jam is amazing with fish. You can put mm-hmm. it on top of salmon or on chicken if you're mm-hmm. cooking with it. And, you know, I had a customer who came to the farmer's market and he said to me, oh, I had a salmon fillet and I had all these folks over for dinner and I put that carrot and ginger jam on top of it and everybody wanted to know what I had done. And he said, and I went into the kitchen, I pushed that jar way in the back of my shelf so he wasn't giving up his secrets for what he did. But if you like to experiment in the kitchen, there's no better way to do it than using a jam.
Yeah, that's great.
The fruity jams make good dressings, and you know, you can cook with them and make sauces and flavor them up with different flavors.
That's wonderful. So now, what's on the horizon in 2014? What are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, Karen, in New Jersey, you have to, if you make a food product, you have to make it in a commercial kitchen. You can't make it at home. Mm-hmm. And so I rent a commercial kitchen where I make my jams now. But I'm hopeful that this is the year. The Intersect Fund and Elijah's Promise are collaborating together to build a co-op commercial kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that I can buy into a co-op commercial kitchen this year. And mm-hmm. not only because it'll give me that ownership sense, but also because I make jams in small batches now. And I'm hoping that it'll give me the opportunity to make a little bit bigger batch. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, 1,000-gallon vats like some of those large jam companies. Mm-hmm. But if I could make a little bigger batch, then maybe I could make a little more money and be able to put my jams in some other stores and places. So I am you know, planning to move into a new commercial kitchen, a co-op kitchen this year.
That sounds like a wonderful new beginning.
Oh, absolutely. I can't even imagine. You know, I think about it and I get all giddy, but it's going to have, you know, the kitchen will have some retail space, so it'll be another opportunity to sell my jams, but a chance for me to add staff. I have, you know, a part-time woman that helps me in the kitchen right now, but maybe add some more staff. You know, Eliza's Promise is out of New Brunswick, but they run a culinary school, so maybe I could get some students involved and give me another location where I can, you know, do some jam sessions and educate folks about new ways to use my jams.
Yeah, I think that's like very exciting.
Thank you.
Extremely exciting. Well, Kim, I can't believe it, but we're out of time. It has been wonderful to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Just show your gift basket?
Oh, yeah. I have a lovely gift box. I did a lot of sales at holiday time because I was actually able to. This is the box, and it holds three. I'll put it here. It holds three jars, and I ship jam all over the country.
Wonderful.
In November and December, it was fabulous holiday sales for me.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay. And you also include informative cards about the
jams. Yeah, I do. I have a Pure Indulgence is sort of my line for jams. And sometimes people need a suggestion. I have a recipe card for Jam and Delights, the cookies that you could make with my jams.
Oh, so, that's great. That's great. Well, much success to you.
Thank you, Kim.
I, you know, am just so pleased about the Super Bowl host committee. I'm sure that they're going to be reordering, just like all your customers. I certainly do. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank the audience for joining us. And this is Karen Delk with New Beginnings. And I am so pleased to have had Kim Osterhout, Jams by Kim, on our show.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings with Karen Delk, where we explore topics of charting a new path and the important lessons of making change. For more information, please visit www.karendelk.com.
Have a good day.